The scripture lesson from this morning is found in the book of Matthew, verse 2, chapters 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophets wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
Epiphany is a time when we celebrate the reality that the light came into the world. And we find ways during that season to follow that light and live in that presence. So this morning, in celebration of the fact that tomorrow is Epiphany, I am here not to preach, but to tell a story and let that story do my preaching. The story is called The Other Wise Man. It was written by Henry Van Dyke. It's just a little book that was given to me by my father, one of the first stories I think he told me. I could read the whole thing, but we'd be here for a couple hours. I'm not going to do that. I have adapted it, but I do encourage you. It's a wonderful little book written in 1895 with all the verbose language of the writers of 1895. Beautiful descriptions. I'm just going to give you the bare bones of this wonderful little story. You knew there were three wise men. Well, you think you knew there were three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. The Bible says wise men came bringing gifts. We know there were three gifts. Tradition has given them the names of Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. Where did those names come from? Nobody knows. But those are the names that are given. I'm here to tell you about the other wise man, the fourth wise man, named Artaban. Artaban was a worshiper of Zoroaster, considered by his people the god of purity and truth and light. They gathered one night at Artaban's home to pay reverence to their god. And on that night, Artaban told them of a new vision that he'd had. He'd been reading through some of old books of scripture from the Hebrew people, little known people, little thought of people. But he had found a scripture that told them of the coming of the Messiah, whose presence would be heralded by a light in the sky. He and three of his other friends, Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar, had witnessed the growth of a new star. And they had decided to wait until that star appeared once again in the sky. And when it did, they would start on a journey to find the king who is born to bring light to the world. And so on this night, he shared this vision with his other friends that were gathered at his home. He told them what he had done. He said, I have sold my house. I have sold all my goods. And I have purchased 3 gems. A sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. I am taking them as tribute to the new king. He invited his friends to go along. One had a new wife at home. Another was too ill to travel. Another had a job he felt was too important to leave, and so none of them were willing to go with him, except for his father. But his father was an old man. But he said, I will follow your journey. And much of the book is told through the eyes of Artaban's father as he sits in the Hall of Dreams and watches his son on his journey. After his friends had left, Artaban went out to the balcony of his home. He stared across the mountains into the night sky. And as he stood there, the planets converged. 2 of the great planets. They started as an azure spark and they bloomed as they finally melded into a beautiful, bright, white light. Just below the light, an infinitesimal point, a star. It was the sign that he had been waiting for. And so he readied everything that night. He slept. He got up in the morning. His horse Vazda was waiting for him, ready to be on this wonderful journey. He mounted the horse and he set off. He had only a short amount of time to meet his fellow magi, the 3 of whom we know, at the Temple of Spheres. And so he set out. It was a long journey. He didn't have enough time to waste along the way. He rode on and on into the night, into the next day, and into the next night. And following that star. And as he rode, he prayed that he would get there in time to complete the journey with his 3 friends. As they were crossing past plains and deserts and mountains, they finally came to an oasis. He knew he didn't have time to stop. But as they approached the oasis, Vazda pulled back, as if nervous about something. He urged her on, but she wouldn't go. And finally, he saw, lying next to the pool, the form of a man. He was dressed in poverty-type clothes, and Artaban figured he was probably one of the many Hebrew exiles that lived in that area. He appeared to be dead, and Artaban got off his horse, and he went to the man, and he lifted his arm, and it dropped back. And he thought, okay, good, I can't stop. And so he turned to leave, and suddenly he heard a sigh, and a bony hand grabbed the hem of his garment, and he turned back. The man was not dead, although close to death. And Artaban prayed, God, show me what I must do. If I pause here, I will miss my friends on the next part of the journey. But Artaban was a healer, and it wasn't in him to leave a dying man. And so he said, I've got time to offer him a cup of cold water. And so he did. And then he stayed. And he kept offering him water, and he kept offering him food until the man finally began to revive. And Artaban talked to him, and he asked, Artaban, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why have you stopped to help me? And Artaban explained his quest. And the man said, you won't find the child in Jerusalem. The prophets went on after you read and said that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so Artaban turned his thinking around, and as he left, he realized it was already midnight, the appointed hour for meeting his friends at the Temple of the Spheres. But He went on thinking, well, maybe they got held up. Maybe I can still meet them. And he rode to the Temple of the Spheres. It was long past midnight when he got there, and there was no trace of his friends. There was a note. Picked it up, read it. It said, "We waited long past midnight. We could wait no longer. We've gone on. Follow us across the desert." Artaban wasn't prepared to cross the desert. His horse was spent. He had no food left. And so he returned to a city that was close, the city of Babylon. He took out his sapphire and sold it so that he could buy a camel and provisions to cross the desert. And so, already late for the appointed time, he mounted his camel and crossed the desert. The journey across the desert was a difficult one. The days were hot. The nights were cold. There were no animals during the day. At night, the jackals and the lions came out circling his camp. But he still pushed on and on until finally he came to the valley of the Jordan River and into Bethlehem. As he came into Bethlehem, the town was quiet. There didn't seem to be anybody around, and he wondered what was going on. As he rode down one street, there was an open doorway, and inside he heard a mother singing softly. He went in, and she was comforting her child to sleep. She saw him in his fine robes and, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And he explained, and she said, three gentlemen looking like you came into our town. They visited a home down the way and welcomed the birth of one they believed was born to be a king. But they left quickly and mysteriously, and the next morning they were gone. And that same day, Joseph gathered up his family and they fled. I think they've gone, and she said, to Egypt. That was the story. And so Artaban once again had missed his friends and missed the Christ child by only a few days. Just as he was preparing to leave, there was a clamor in the streets. People began shouting and mothers crying, "Soldiers, the soldiers of Herod, they're here to kill our children. What will we do?" Artaban stood in the doorway of the home, his broad shoulders blocking the view of the young mother, when a captain came up to the door and said, "Is there a child within? We're looking for all the children." And Artaban looked at him and said, "There's no child here." And he reached in his pouch and he pulled out the ruby. And he put it on his hand and he said, "I have a gem here. I have a gem here for the captain who will move on and not look for another child in this household." The captain looked at the ruby lying on his hands like a drop of blood. And he grabbed it and he said, "There's no baby here." And they went on. The mother was overcome with joy that this regal man had saved her child. And she said to him, "May God go with you. Go in peace. And I hope and dream that you will find what you are looking for." And so Artaban set off for Egypt, the last known place where the family had gone. He rode past the Nile River, traveled down the Nile River until he saw the Sphinx, and he stared into the eyes of the Sphinx, thinking, "What do those eyes want to tell me? They're filled with mystery. They're filled with love. Will I find what I'm looking for?" He didn't. He kept searching, but there was no word of the family, and he did not have any idea where they had gone. Finally, in Alexandria, he found an old Jewish rabbi. And he sat down and he talked with the rabbi and he told him of his quest. The rabbi said, "The king for which you are searching will not be found in palaces. The king will not be found living high. He will be found among the oppressed, among the poor, among the hungry. If you would find him, that's where you must look." And so, Artaban continued his quest. He began visiting prisons. He began feeding the hungry. He began visiting people in their places of work. He ministered to those who were sick. He fed, gave water, did everything possible in his journey. It looked as if he had forgotten about his quest. But every once in a while, he'd reach into his pouch and he'd pull out that last treasure that he had, that pearl. And it seemed as if the pearl had taken on the colors of the sapphire and the ruby in its iridescent beauty. And then he'd put it away and keep looking. Finally, one day, as he made his way across the plains, he came back to Jerusalem. He had been there before, many times in search of this child, and had found no trace. But he came back. It had been 33 years that he had been on his quest. And as he came into the city, it was Passover. There was tension in the air. There were multitudes of people, but all of them seemed to be troubled by something that he couldn't quite figure out. Finally, he found a group of citizens from his own country. And they were all moving in one direction. He said, "Where are you going? What's going on?" These were Parthian Jews traveling from his country. And they said, "We're on our way to a place called Golgotha. Haven't you heard? Where have you been?" And Artaban explained that he'd been traveling. And they said, "Well, two robbers are going to be crucified. And with them a third man called Jesus of Nazareth, who has been called the King of the Jews." In his heart, Artaban knew this was the man for whom he had searched his whole adult life. He pulled out the pearl and he thought, "I have a ransom. I can ransom this man's life so that he can live." And so he went with his newfound friends and headed for Golgotha. But as he was walking through the city, a group of Macedonian soldiers came down the street dragging a young girl behind them. She was able to break away and she threw herself at the feet of Artaban and she said, "Oh, Magi, I am one of your people. My father was one of the Magi. I have been sold into slavery to pay his debts after his death. Help me." It was the age-old conflict. Did he help this young girl, or did he keep that pearl for his quest? He prayed once again to his God, "Oh God of purity and truth, what should I do?" And then he took the pearl and he handed it to the young girl. And he said, here's your ransom. Buy your freedom." As he did it, the sky turned dark, the ground trembled, and the building by which they were standing, the wall, finally came tumbling down and struck the old man in the head, and the girl was trapped with him under the wall of the building, and she held his head in her lap as he lay dying. But she heard him whispering. She didn't know if he was delirious. She didn't know if he was actually seeing somebody. She didn't know. But she heard this voice, and then she heard Artaban saying, "But my friend, I never saw you hungry and gave you food. I never saw you in prison and visited you. I never saw you naked and clothed you. I don't know what you're talking about." And then she heard a sweet voice speaking back to Artaban. "Oh, my friend, inasmuch as you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me." Artaban's quest had not failed. He had found the Christ. And as he died, he knew that the King of Jews had been born, and that the Christ child would bring the love to the world, the light to the world, of which he had dreamed so long. May it be so for each of us. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, help us to follow the light. Help us to be the light, so that what radiates out from us can surely feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give peace to all of humankind. Amen.